Hey, good morning, sports fans. Glad to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Monday, August 11th, 2025. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Dr. Steve Martin's going to be our guest at 7:25. Get our Arthrex Sports Medicine segment. Looking forward to that. I'm going to ask you about walking boots. Everybody in sports today woke up in a walking boot. Like, there's not a single athlete in the world that's not in one today. We'll talk about that coming up and give the advantages and what injuries to look for as far as that goes. Let's hear from Dabo Swinney after the scrimmage the Tigers had on Saturday. Talk a little bit about that scrimmage and some notes. I had some spies there that were spying on everything. We'll talk about that a little bit. Talk about the Gamecocks scrimmage a little bit. The NFL weekend. Can't wait to hear what Sam said about Shador Sanders. Major League Baseball weekend. Braves beat the Marlins 3 out of 4. Or Red Sox lose 2 out of 3. Yankees lose 2 out of 3. Give you the latest there. We got about a month left in the baseball season. Justin Rose at 45 wins on the PGA Tour the first week of the playoffs. We'll talk about that a little bit. And Shane Van Gisbergen wins on at NASCAR, the short track superstar. On a rainy Monday, we bring in not Will Clinton. You guys are flip-flopping, and I have no idea who's ever going to be coming in here. But good morning, Sam. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm drenched in rainwater, but yeah. I'm good to go. It is pouring. It is pouring out
absolutely
there.
Absolutely pouring. It is absolutely pouring.
But it's cool. It's not hot.
No, it's not hot. We'll get up. I'm looking now, Sam. You're going to love this in the long-term forecast because I know you're a weather guy over there.
We try over here.
79 today.
Beautiful.
81 tomorrow.
Beautiful.
88 on Wednesday.
Acceptable.
All right. Then I got 90 and 90. But no, nothing above 90, all right? Let me give you the rest of the weather. 88, 89, 89, 87, 81. On Thursday, the 21st, 79 is the high. The 22nd, 79 is the high. 81, 82, 83.
That's good enough.
I got to tell you, man. This is the mildest, that's the wettest August I've seen. This is the mildest August I've seen.
It has been a delightful August weather-wise. If you like rain, you probably don't love it, but I have been a fan of the fact that it hasn't been unbearably hot when I step outside. It has been, I can take this. I can do this.
All right. About a 50% chance of rain rest. It poured on the way over here,
though. Yeah, it was bad.
Absolutely poured.
Stay safe driving, please.
How was your weekend? I'll ask about Sanders later on. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good.
I'm glad to
Nothing
hear that.
To complain about.
Am I right to say that Landon is here for the final week? This is it? Oh, man, we're going to have this tearful deal on Friday. You going to be here Friday with us?
Got to have a ceremony.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll
man.
I'll close it out, you know. Got to stick it out.
You can do like Mariano Rivera, except you're not going to break Terry Achilles. You're going to come and close the thing out.
Yeah. We can play Sandman if you want.
And you come bearing gifts today.
I did. I put it over there. It has to dry off because of the rain. But I did bring a gift for you. A little thank you for giving me a chance here.
Well, no, it's too kind of you. It is a picture of Yankee Stadium.
It is.
Frame picture.
It is. Old Yankee Stadium.
Old Yankee Stadium, which
opening,
I've been to.
On opening day.
My first time stepping foot in the Yankee Stadium, the old one was 1976. They opened that one in 74-5. I went in 76. And I went the last year of that stadium. And you know, I've not been to the new stadium yet. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Gotten old. How was your weekend?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Red Sox lose 2 out of 3. Yankees lose 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
We're not very good. We're terrible, as a matter of fact.
We can't seem to win on the West Coast, man. We struggle when we got to go to the other side.
But good weekend, though?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Can't complain.
I got something for you today. We went to the drive game yesterday.
Ah.
It's my first time in Ford Field. I take that back. Years ago, we did an event, I think with Trail or somebody, maybe the drive. We did all of our shows or some of our shows up above the Green Monster up there. And I did a few innings, and I was like, all right, I got to go. Anyway, that's the first time I took my kid. My kid won a Reading All-Stars deal.
Yep.
So they gave you free tickets. Man, you know what? I'm impressed by the drive, not by the team. I'm impressed that the stadium and the concessions and the ushers,
yeah.
They had 1,000, they had 2,000 kids there yesterday, maybe 3,000 kids, right? But the ushers were a gentleman I met, very, very nice. The game was good. The weather was fantastic. It was cool. Had good seats. My son had a good time. My son loves baseball. So we're about the fifth inning. So no hitter being pitched, by the way. And in the end, the drive come back and win, But I noticed some things about minor league baseball, too, we'll get to later on. But my son will not leave a sporting event to the end of the game. Like, he's into it. Like, he's trying to pull him for Greenville a little bit. Then we go across the street to eat a meal, and one of the pitchers is eating with us. I asked him about it, so kind of met him a little bit. So Drake said, hey, Dad, we got to be a big fan of this guy, Adam Smith, UNC Wilmington fifth-year guy, reliever. I asked him if he's going to make it. He goes, yeah, man, I'm going to make it. Looked his stuff up afterwards, like, oh, I ain't going to make it. Anyway, but a good guy. A good guy. Him and his girlfriend, whatever, a little date. It was nice. A good guy, though, pull for them. But the drive setup's good. Like, they do a good job there. And I told my wife, matter of fact, I asked my son, Sam, because he goes to all these Clemson baseball games, right? He's been to one major league game now and one minor league game now. And I said, Drake, what'd you like better? The Atlanta Braves games? What'd you want to go to again? Atlanta Braves games or Greenville Drive? He goes, Greenville Drive, Dad.
It sounds to me, Landon, like Drake is a little bit of a Red Sox.
No.
I think he's. I don't know.
True story. He wears his Yankee hat in there, right? Mm. And he says, Dad, these teams are, you know, his Red Sox logos. He doesn't understand minor league baseball, right? He's like, it's the Red Sox versus the Braves because they're playing Rome.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, he goes, those are two teams I hate, Dad. I don't like either one of these teams. No, he didn't pull for that at all.
I mean, he got to see, you know, the future guys that will destroy the Yankees for time to come.
I'll be honest with you, all right? And I don't mean to be mean.
Uh-oh.
I didn't see anybody out there that's going to be in Major League Baseball.
Well, I can tell you the exact guys who are top prospects from what you
they
saw.
They have all called right. up a ton of kids the Red Sox have.
You know what I know? This is weird. All their stats, because they played 100 games so far.
A ton of games. They're almost done.
Yeah. So they put the stats up on the scoreboard, and the guys are like, he's got one home run, 12 RBIs, and two stolen bases, and he's hitting 214. Like the whole team either moves up or down this time of the year. I didn't know that about minor league baseball.
A lot of kids, like yesterday, Cleveland called up Cooper Engel. Shout out to Cooper Engel, former
catcher. Former Tiger, yeah.
Yeah, he has up to AAA along with Travis Bazzano, last year's first overall pick. They called like 8 guys up to AA. Like, this is the time of the year when everybody – because they've only got a few weeks left in the minor league season. They want to see if these guys can kick it at AAA, which kind of accelerates their timeline at the next level in a lot of these cases. Looking at this drive roster, Landon, you guys have called up. You guys have run this roster dry.
Yep. They're not.
And there's already been guys that moved up. The leadoff guy is the number four. There's number four prospect. In all
You're in stuff. Trouble.
Nah.
The guy can't hit his weight.
Who would that be? Who is the head?
Some shortstop, Arias or
Franklin,
something.
Yeah, oh, Franklin Arias. Yeah.
Nah, man. Can't play in the Dead in the Cowboy movie.
He's batting 265, and he's got like 10 home runs.
No pop. Good defensive player. Yeah, arms are average.
10 home runs, and he's got no pop, apparently.
Nah, he didn't. But 100 games, got 10 home runs.
He's 19.
Yeah, he's also, yeah.
I'm telling you, he ain't going to make it.
The second guy. Batted second. We just drafted him this year. High schooler. Just got drafted. Godbout. I haven't seen him play yet.
That kid can play.
Yeah.
He just got pulled up.
He did.
And he was their player of the week this week. That's a baseball player. He's got a little Petey in him.
Yeah.
You got a chance there on that one. He knows how to play the game.
Uh-huh.
That guy's got a chance. Yeah. I like that kid.
Yeah, he's 21, so he's a little bit older.
He's in high school at 21 years old?
No, he went to Virginia.
He went to Virginia. I looked it up and I lied. Yofren, the DH. Yofren Garcia, big guy.
Couldn't play. I'm telling you, couldn't hit the ocean if he fell out of a boat.
He went 1-for-4 yesterday.
Yeah, can't hit.
Did you think it Yofri from the Brewers, I want to say? I want to say Yofri came from the
Brewers. Yeah, Yofri's from the Brewers.
Is that Quinn Priester?
How do you know that?
Quinn Priester. I have no life.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, Yofri we got from in a trade.
Nothing. You got nothing.
He's pretty good.
Your left-handed starting pitcher. You threw two guys that are 5'9" or less.
Oh boy!
And couldn't break a window pane. The shortstop for Rome is the Lodi kid.
Alex Lodice.
From Florida State. Yeah, Lodice.
He's been nuts as far as I can remember since they called him up like last week. I think he got assigned last week or so.
Yeah.
He'll move quick.
But he's not a smooth short. You know, he is going to be a second baseman. He's not a smooth fielding shortstop. He's a great, but he's a ball player.
That kid's going to move quick. The Braves are going to need him soon.
Oh, and that's another thing. The Braves on that side, you're in trouble too.
Oh yeah, the Braves. I haven't looked at this one, but
the right hander had a no hitter through about 5 or 6. He's throwing 96. Some of the bullpen guys are like 96.
Take it.
But you know, and I think that gun's probably juiced a little bit. But with that said, I didn't see a ton of major league talent.
Yeah. The Braves have all pitchers. If you look at their top prospects, it's like there's very rarely any position guys. I haven't looked at it, the updated one, But
they drafted about a million shortstops this year.
One of them's got to work.
Yeah, I mean, one of them's got to be at least a good second baseman is kind of the thought process. I'm sure Southsien will be up there next year. But, yeah, High A is – they move pretty quick through High A if they trust them. They try to get them to Double A pretty quickly these days.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll be honest, it's a good time. It's a good time.
Minor league baseball is awesome. It is an enjoyable experience.
You know, and it'll get you because you're not. I mean, my son started pulling for Greenville a little bit, so I was pulling for Greenville because he did. But it's interesting. Like, you don't really pull for your city. You don't pull for the. I guess if you're a Red Sox fan, you kind of pull for that a little bit.
If your farm is there, you care what you're looking at. But other than that, you just go in as a neutral and have fun.
My son's into umpires right now because he's watching some umpire compilation. You know, some making fun of umpires and stuff. So he's really into umpires right now.
He's into hating umpires.
No, he likes how they ring them up and call strikes and all that kind of stuff. No, he's good. He likes all that. That was a lot of fun. I played golf on Friday. That was great. I got all these updates on Clemson's scrimmage. That was great. And got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Sam, so tell me, you're here today.
I am.
Because you got switched or something? You got some different dates coming? He's got some different dates coming up?
I have a bachelor party to go to this weekend.
Uh-oh.
And it starts on Thursday night. So Will Clanton and I have swapped. So I'm not going to be here for Landon's last day, which is devastating. I've had a lot of fun. But I just swapped one day with Will this week. So Will will be with you on Friday. I'm with you Wednesday, Thursday, and today.
All right, Wednesday. Let me see if I'm right with saying this. Wednesday, you and Landon are going to have to do the last segment.
Okay.
I am headed out of town on Wednesday. Got to catch a flight. I'll be back on the air. We're going to Charleston. I'll be on the air Thursday morning from Charleston. And then Friday, his last day, man. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, quick, man.
Yeah, we did. He did a great job. We've enjoyed him. We're going to miss him. We got to call in during the show, too.
All right. I'll try.
That'll be good.
I have an 8 a.m. class, so I can call him as I walk to class.
That's good. I thought you were going to say calling during class.
No. Not during class.
Senior year.
I mean, I have a bunch of random sports management classes. None of them are that important.
We're technically on topic.
Yeah,
of course. Of course we are. All right. A lot to do. We're going to catch up with what are we going to do in segment two? Who's got segment two today?
It is me. I want to ask, kind of in relation to Clemson, but also coming off of preseason week one for football, how do you temper expectations as a fan? Do you temper expectations?
I'll quickly just give you this. It's a lot easier in college because you still hadn't seen them. In the NFL, like, there's some guys who showed you some things this weekend. So let's get into it. Let's do it. A short break. We'll come back. Segment two with Sam Jones. You return right after this.
This season, knock it out of the park with Underdog. Underdog is one of the leading sports apps, and you can play now in South Carolina. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. Download the app and pick whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. Choose categories like strikeouts, home runs, and so much more. If you get your picks correct, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. So you could turn a dollar into $1,000 with your baseball knowledge. Download the Underdog app. Sign up now with promo code Road Rage to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus funds when you make your first deposit. That's promo code Road Rage. Must be 18 or older and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See underdogfantasy.com/web/deposit-match-terms for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660 or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
At Toyota of Easley, now is the best time to get a closeout deal on the last remaining new 2024 Toyota Tacomas or get a new 2025 Toyota Tundra or Tacoma with financing rates as low as 1.99%. With Norris Built Accessories, you can also have your truck customized your way, any make or model handled by certified Toyota technicians. Call 864-855-2233. Visit toyotaofeasley.com or stop by for a test drive today on Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that.
Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today, and let's build dreams together.
Hey guys, dealing with ED or low T? Don't just accept it. Act like a man and fix it. Your old lady will thank you. Guaranteed. At Low Country Male, testosterone and ED plans start at just $5 a day. You'll get labs, unlimited doctor visits, and real results. Right now, get 2 months of free ED meds with any new plan, plus 30% off NAD Plus and peptides. With 8 South Carolina locations, it's time to make men men again. Visit lowcountrymale.com.
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join all the Ragers on Friday as we continue our daily college football previews with a focus on player talent and athleticism. We do some NFL breakdowns, some divisional breakdowns. We talk some NFL win totals. And in our usual Friday way, we have some frivolity. Join us starting at 3 for Road Rage.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The only place for sports talk in the upstate is right here, every day. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hey, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Snyder Tree Care does so much. They're still looking to hire, and they're always looking to hire good folks. If you want to get out of the cubicles and get that coat and tie off and get out and work in nature and have a great company to work for, they do that. You think of tree company, you think of tree removal. I mean, they do that. But also trimming and pruning and shrub and tree health care. That's one of the biggest things, is like when you're knowing what nutrients to get to those trees and shrubs. And what insect control applications or disease control applications, they put together a plan for you. And this risk assessment to help mitigate like any issues you might potentially have. So let them come to your property, your commercial or your residential property, and let them take care of you. And this experienced team knows more about it. As a matter of fact, I think we're still on. Going to meet with Eric Snyder tomorrow. Snyder Tree Care. Snyder Tree Care or SnyderTree.com. 8334 My Tree, the very best tree service in the upstate of South Carolina. Before we get to segment 2, Sam, failed to mention this. How about Little kicking the 70-yard field goal in the to me, that was the biggest thing that happened this weekend in the NFL. I know I'm going to get to the Sanders stuff later, but like that was a huge deal. 70 yards?
And it technically doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count.
The longest, preseason. I want to say the longest kick ever, and I don't have this tweet, but I'm certain of the number. The longest kick of all time recorded at any of the three levels was 69 yards, and I think it was in college in 1976. I don't remember where it was, but it was a 69-yard field goal.
Was it Russell Erksleben?
couldn't tell you.
There was a thing there where these barefooted kickers from Arkansas and Texas Tech and Texas, they had these old Southwest Conference deals where these guys, Tony Franklin from A&M, look these guys up, Russell Erkslavin, like they were kicking 60-yarders. Kevin Butler. Now, here's the thing. They're kicking off a tee. So that's one thing. But these guys were kicking these bombs back then from the old Southwest Conference days. So, but yeah, 70 yards. Fantastic. Anyway. Yeah,
that was one of those where I didn't know if anyone would get to 70. You figure, guys, Abilene Christian's Ove Johansson had a 69-yard field goal in 1976. That was the official longest one at any of the top two levels over the past, well, ever. So Cam Little, in my eyes, beats it. I'm going to give him credit for it, even though it's the preseason.
Why doesn't it count?
It's
a field goal. What difference does it make?
Well, in your head, it makes more sense to count it than like if Jackson Dart came out and threw for 800 yards in a preseason football game.
Like,
you're kicking against. It doesn't matter who you're kicking against. That's pretty much up to you, the holder, and the.
But, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's still kicking it the same distance.
Yeah, he gets credit in my book. 70 yards is ridiculous. Liam Cohen's face on the sidelines was cracking me up. He was just sitting there laughing as it went up, and then it went in, and he just starts laughing as he walks out on the field.
The announcers, like, gave it no chance. It's like, yeah, they're going to kick this.
That's a 70-yarder.
Dang. It's got enough legs. Yeah.
You can hear the announcer in the middle go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's got no idea that it's about to go in.
I didn't realize this. Russell Erkslavin. Was a former NFL player convicted of multiple financial crimes.
Oh no.
Ponzi scheme guy.
Oh no.
I didn't realize that.
Let's look at this. Let's go.
How about that?
Oh, that's not how I would have spelled his name.
Yeah.
There's an X in there.
Got 90 months, 7.5 years.
Oh, Russell.
For $2 million Ponzi scheme and $35 million foreign trade fraud. Russell.
He had the longest successful fit. Yeah, well,
I told you, man. I told you.
Today. What are we doing in the record books?
And then Tony Franklin was this barefooted guy. All Southwestern Conference guys. Anyway, segment two with Sam Jones.
No financial fraud in segment two. I want to talk a little bit. We've talked all offseason long about expectations and hype, the hype train, and if players can manage it and how players can manage it and if it's a factor for Clemson. I choose to believe that it's a good thing. I think the players have handled it really well. I think they have taken it and used it as what it should be, which is more motivation on top of the motivation they already have, which is intrinsic when you come to Clemson. It's guaranteed that you're going to have it. The hype, the expectations, those are all going to exist. But as fans, we fall into these traps far more than the players do, Mickey.
Yes.
So my question to you is, when you hear all of this and you start to fall into it yourself, and if they come out in week one and they go gangbusters and have a really good start to the game and you start to say, oh my God, this is the year, or this is the year we're going to do something, how do you ground yourself after that? And should you ground yourself after that?
All right. Me personally, it's about experience. Because I'm going to be one of these guys. I'm going to consider the source, by the way, a lot of times. The number one source is I want to see it with my eyes. Like, I've seen enough football. I've seen enough preseason camps, enough preseason games, enough scrimmages. Like, I can see it and tell you, oh, yeah, that guy. Like, I'll tell you one. Justin Ross. Like, every freshman is going to be the next Sammy Watkins. But I got to tell you, man, when Justin Ross is over there, the one of the scrimmages he had, it's like, yep, that's it. He's going to be a superstar. Unlike the other 99 before him that were supposed to be the next, you know, the next guy, the next big superstar around here. Sammy Watkins, started hearing that very, very early, but hearing it from people that you trust. But there again, you got to consider the source. If the source are your eyes will lie to you sometimes too, because your heart's going to lead your eyes in one direction, right? So you want to believe, or you want to. Or if you made it, if we do this all the time in sports talk shows, like, I've said something bad about a guy, so now I've really got to be hard on him because I want to be right about something, right? The other part of it is you got to consider the source of somebody told you they saw something. Because sometimes you got just the half full guy, sometimes you got the half empty guy. Sometimes you got the guy who's so excitable, like the Labrador puppy, that's just like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be great. You wouldn't believe, man, they just looked awesome yesterday. Like, these guys are so big and strong and fast. Like, yeah. True story. My dad and I were at a Clemson game, one of Tommy West's years, and Clemson beats Furman, like, 45-3 or something. And afterwards, my dad said, man, that's the best Clemson team I've seen. They went, like, 6-5 that year. So early in a season, you don't win things in September. You lose things in September. Here's the other thing, Sam, just a little advice here. Football seasons are long, man. And teams change throughout the season. And there's about, what you want to do is, you got about three peaks and valleys in a season for every football team ever. Sometimes you get five or six, but you got about three. And what the hope is, you got two peaks and one valley. But some teams have one peak and two valleys, or two peaks and four valleys. But football seasons are long. And you give yourself, like Clemson's 1981 national championship team, week one, they're losing to Wofford at halftime. In week two, it's like a 3-3 game against Tulane in week two. And the very next week, they beat defending national champion Georgia. So I always show me first. Does that make sense? I need to see it in my own eyes. But I also know that October is different than September, and November is a lot different than October.
What would it take week one in either direction for you to come out and kind of jump down that almost overreaction Monday train? In either way, either come out really well, really poorly, where is the spectrum there for you that even you, as someone who has been around this program far, far longer than I have and has seen much more good and bad than I will in my life, what would it take on either side for even you to jump and be like, wow, this might be something ridiculous, or things are going very poorly here?
Even if it's as bad as it got. All right, I'll give you two. I'll give you two examples of it. I don't think there is one. Because, Sam, in 2003, I sat in a stifling Death Valley and watched ninth-ranked Georgia come in here and beat Clemson 30-0, and Clemson had zero positives. What year were you born, Landon?
2004.
All right, this is before you were born. Zero positives. Like, it was bad, man. Like, that was it, all right? They go on and lose to Maryland and NC State, and lose to Wake Forest 45-17. Everybody thought Tommy Bowden is gone, all right? So at that time, they were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They were 5-4, 2003. And to be honest with you, three of their four losses were bad, like blowout losses. Georgia beat them by 30. Maryland beat them 21-17. NC State barely beat them 17-15. Clemson should have won that game. That was on a Thursday night, and I was at the game. You know what happened on that night? Look this up. Look this up for me. On Thursday, October the 13th, 2003, Aaron Boone hit the home run against the Red Sox. We were listening on the radio coming home from Raleigh. Make sure I'm right by saying that. You know what else happened that day? This is weird, guys. I'm glad you brought this up. Clemson had stolen NC State signals and still couldn't beat NC State that night. Everything went wrong. Dropping the ball, fumbling it, missed kicks, like just turn up. Anyway. And then they go up to Winston-Salem. I had a ticket to Notre Dame and Florida State in South Bend, and I turn it down to watch Wake Forest crush Clemson 45-17. So everybody said, Tommy Bowden's gone. Guys, the next week against third-ranked Florida State, Clemson comes out and wins 26-10 against number three. They beat South Carolina that year 63-17. They go down to the Peach Bowl, and they beat sixth-ranked Tennessee 27-14. You see my point, Sam? Like, even at 5-4, like, there's still – no one thought they'd be two top sixes and finish the season on this big high. The point, man, you never know. You never truly really know.
And that leads me to my final prong of this question.
By the way, did he hit a home run on August 16th to that? How about that memory?
Yeah, he did.
Well, if it's a Yankee beating Red Sox memory and Landon's here, you're going to remember.
Game 7, knuckleball and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, what happened the next year? Anyway, go ahead.
Right. Anyways, any hoodles.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my final question of the prong, which is NFL related, which is coming off of preseason week one and coming off of the preseason. And I suppose this is a Shedeur Sanders Jackson Dart related question as we watch Jackson Dart on our television screens right now in the rerun of the other night's preseason game or yesterday's preseason game. How right are fans, or how fair is it for fans to jump on that bandwagon and immediately overreact? After, in one way or another, you saw Tyler Shuck throw a pick and then immediately throw a touchdown yesterday, and everyone's jumping down his throat on the pick. How fair is it during a preseason game for fans to jump down that path? And is it setting them up for failure when you get into the regular season? Are you setting yourself up for disappointment as a fan by doing that?
Yes. One of the things you got to remember in this week one, and even in week two a little bit, like
preseason period.
Yeah, you're playing against guys who will never, ever take a real snap in the NFL. And it's your first time out. And so I don't know this. We can look this up. What did Tom Brady do in his very first preseason game? What did Peyton Manning do? You know, what did Brett Favre do? Like, I don't know. I would, especially rookie quarterbacks. Like, there is a tremendous learning curve. On the other side of it, I am sure there are guys who lit it up in their first preseason game that never turned out to be anything, too. So,
probably many more than those who turned into something.
Yeah. I'll just say experience, right? Like, you've lived through that. How many quarterbacks had the Cleveland Browns shot? How many times have you put out there a guy who looked really good in week one?
All of the bad ones.
See? So
they have had every bad quarterback who's ever played football at some point.
Yeah.
But I think you can tell a lot of who's going to be bad in the preseason.
That is exactly what I was going to jump to next. I think for a quarterback, especially in the preseason, your goal, if you were drafted, your expectation is that you look really competent and you look at least like you know what you're doing or in control of something.
Yeah, like
but if you don't,
if you're struggling against them, no chance.
It's much
but
more
what if you're time. Struggling throwing it to guys who are making the wrong route reads and being protected by offensive linemen who can't, you're on your back the whole time. Like you're also playing with scrubs. Playing against scrubs.
I think you could tell a lot of the time with many guys if the process is sound. Like you can make the wrong throw or make a bad throw, but the read was still there. You went through your progress. Like all of that was sound. You can tell. Yeah. And that's almost more important as a rookie almost to me than the throw you actually end up making, which sounds silly, but you need to know that you can do all that first. I'm glad you pointed that out, Landon, because I was watching Tyler Shuck yesterday and he threw the pick and it was bad. And then he throws a nice touchdown on deep ball later. And I'm like, unfairly almost, I'm putting more stock in the fact that he threw a bad pick right there than coming back and making an immediate good throw. And I looked inward on that and I'm like, why am I doing that? Why am I going with that expectation of he needs to look really good immediately? And I think because so many people think that these guys need to step in
so,
and immediately know how to do everything.
What do you make of DJ's 1-for-1 for 49 yards bomb?
I will say this, that 1-for-1 was a gorgeous throw.
Yeah.
I make nothing of it. But it's better that he has looked competent in his limited playing time than not.
How about DJ versus Spencer Rattler yesterday? Like that, we had that matchup for a little bit, right? Or I don't know exactly if it matched up well with all that, but like you had that one, DJ and Rattler 2.0 through all that. Or actually, yeah, 2.0 through that.
I was pretty high on Spencer Rattler going into last season as a potential like low-end starter or like high-end backup in the NFL going into the future, and I don't know if he's going to get to that point. I still think he can be a really good backup, but I have questions.
Patrick Mahomes.
He didn't look good yesterday.
One for 1 yard and a touchdown. Yeah. He threw a touchdown pass.
He's nothing if not efficient.
Oh, man.
And that's another thing with the quarterbacks is the game plan and the plays that are being called are the most simple and the most easiest things to complete, that it doesn't matter who you're throwing to. If you can't figure it out, to me, I think that's pretty much a tall tale sign. Like, probably not, because you're running a bunch of halfback screens, wide receiver screens, crossers across the middle, things you've been running since you were in middle school. And if you can't complete them against, you know, the lower half of basically just a more simpler, advanced version of what you were just in college, just people older and faster, if you can't complete that, then you won't play well in the league.
But I correlate this to college, like freshman quarterbacks. What's a bigger jump, high school to college or college to NFL for a quarterback? First-year guy?
I think they're both extremely large jumps.
Yeah.
But I think I would have to go high school to college. Just because it's like in high school, you can be one player. You can carry an entire team by yourself because you are just faster, stronger, smarter, all that, right? But then you can't really do that in college. Even how good Lamar was, like he had help, right? Like he had a pretty good defense. He had a couple of good receivers. And then in the year after his Heisman year, you know, he lost a lot of those good defenders, and he lost a lot of good of that help, and he wasn't as good in that next year. So it's like, I think it is much harder to make that jump.
I don't think it's too dissimilar on either, because if you go from high school to college, you're going every guy on that college defense is the best player on their high school team. Every player on that NFL defense is the best player on their college team for the most part, or one of the two or three. It's a pretty similar jump in that sense. I think the talent level jump is probably higher with the other guys on the team from high school to college than it would be from college to NFL.
I don't want to throw cold water on anybody's good weekend this past weekend, but there will never be any caller or texter that calls in the show in the middle of October after some quarterback lights it up or throws a bunch of picks and says, oh, yeah, well how did he do in week one of the exhibition season? Mm-hmm. Because, again, that guy, he is hopefully a completely different football player in October than he is in a preseason week one.
But if they're bad in the regular season and they were bad in the preseason, you're going to remember. People will remember that.
Oh, yeah.
They'll look back and say, look at that week one, he sucked. We should have
known. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. We knew that in week one, yeah. Hey, Up Country Fiber, I enjoyed segment two. I want to know about Shiro Sanders though, when we come back. So get that ready, because that's when we're going to head down that hype train there a little bit. Our great friends at Up Country Fiber for a strong connection. Up Country Fiber. All right, so yesterday, Drake's got a friend lives down the street. His mom and dad, they moved in a little more than a year ago, maybe. I'm guessing. Maybe a year and a half ago. They moved over from Greenville. And the dad drops the son off, he's headed to talk about his cell phone stuff. He's like, yes, we just did this with our internet stuff. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, man, we had Up Country Fiber when we lived in Greenville, and we can't get it now in our neighborhood. And he goes, I'm telling you, man, our internet now stinks. I was like, yeah, right? He goes, I had zero problems with Up Country Fiber. We love it. And he said, now I can't get it because I got used to this great stuff. And I said, can I use it for an ad tomorrow? He goes, sure. How about that, man? Like, now you move. You know, there's that song, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Oh, they're up Country Fiber. They know it. They've got it now. The other company they're dealing with now, nowhere near as good. Up Country Fiber, strongest connection, the very best internet, upcountryfiber.com. So George Sanders talk, Clemson football scrimmage talk, much more to this.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
I'm a Dodger fan. I'm a GateCut fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in
technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience. Not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025? At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course-type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask us about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go Tigers!
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Need a new financial institution? Visit any of State Credit Union's 20 branches. Need to buy a new car? Apply on State Credit Union's website. Need to buy a new home? Call State Credit Union's mortgage department. Need to pay bills on the go? Use State Credit Union's mobile banking app. No matter what financial service you need, you'll find it at State Credit Union. Learn more at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. NMLS number 478278. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
The Roar.
You guys are the number one sports station because you make the phones light up.
Where every day is game day.
Listen to two guys speak a foreign language during the weekend. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hey, by friends over at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. But I am a client now. They will be at my house before wintertime for the next checkup because I've signed up for their preventive maintenance, AC maintenance, heating maintenance. And so now I know what's going to happen is they're going to come in and check and make sure everything is running efficiently and my power bill is supposed to be lower and you know, any kind of tune-up or repair, they're going to take care of all that for me. The guy did a fantastic job of actually cleaning my unit out when he came out and took a peek. And actually, I got a sensor back working for me last time. I love them. Love Ben and Chris and what these guys are doing and the mold detection unit stuff. Check that out. The generator stuff, indoor air quality stuff. That's another thing. It's like it's not just about the temperature. It's about the quality of air and all that. So you're going to love our great friends over at Blue Ridge Heating Air. Check them out, BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. All right, Sam, Friday night, Shador Sanders, I get a text from, I think it's from Landon maybe, and I'm on this group text with you guys, and it's all about Shador Sanders. And to be honest with you, I forgot he was even playing. And I had to go check it out and look at all the stats and everything. And I'll you being the Browns guy. Well, let me ask. The unbiased one first. Did you watch, Landon, did you watch Shador Sanders Friday
night? I did.
I
was actually at the Drive game watching it on my phone.
Really?
Yep.
All right. So what'd you think?
I was really impressed. I know, you know, no one's going to believe me now, but I have people we can fact check with, but I thought he was going to be a pretty solid starter in the NFL. I mean, you look at very, very accurate, had a great touch. He always had that and good pocket presence. He just never had an O-line to play behind, and he kind of has one now. Cleveland's trying to build that from what I saw, and you saw that a little bit on Friday. And, you know, the one touchdown, probably a dangerous pass once you're playing, you know, the main guys. Obviously, those guys he was playing against probably not going to have the greatest jump on that pass, but I think that's one where he can even learn from that, hey, I got to put a little bit more on that. But had a great pass down the sideline, and personally, I don't see why you don't go to him. And again, I know it's just preseason. I know that's what we've been talking about, but I feel like he's got to be number two on the depth chart because Flacco's going to throw interceptions. He always does. Pickett's going to throw interceptions. He always does. So what's the difference if you throw Shador out there and he throws a couple picks, but he also throws some pretty good touchdowns? I mean, I feel like the ceiling is highest with Shador, and if Joe Flacco goes out there and has another 15 of 15 where he throws 15 touchdowns and 15 picks, I mean, that doesn't give you any promise where Shador can learn and get better.
All right, Sam, resident Browns fan, what'd you think of your new toy?
This will be a pretty measured take. You and I did a lot of quarterback stuff during the college football season and after it, and as you know, I loved Shador. I was really high on him. He was my number one for the majority of the process. So I was pretty thrilled when Cleveland got him in the fifth round. He was accurate in college. He was a good decision maker at the line of scrimmage. He didn't really turn the ball over. His problem was people were concerned about his arm, one, the strength of it, which I don't think was really ever too much of a concern.
I'm not concerned about that.
It's just not Patrick Mahomes' arm. It's an NFL arm. It's nothing great, nothing.
I would agree with that.
Number two, he gets himself in trouble by taking too many sacks, which he did again on Friday night. There's one part of his game he's got to work the kinks out of. And then three, the off-the-field stuff that people were concerned about had nothing to do with football. And really, I don't think it's going to be a problem in Cleveland. I just don't. I don't think any of that's going to be an issue. I think if he's out of Cleveland in a couple years, it's because he's not good enough. He was, the best way I can put it is he looked like an NFL quarterback on Friday night. He looked like an NFL quarterback on the two drives he played against starting caliber NFL players. He didn't look great against the starters that the Panthers had out there for two drives, but he looked good enough and looked like he belonged on the field. And then against their twos and threes, he looked fantastic. So if that's what he's going to look like in the preseason, that indicates to me that at a minimum, he's a backup level player. Now, he's got to do that two more times in the preseason if given opportunities. But he was accurate. The touch was good, as Landon mentioned. He zipped a couple balls in there. Most importantly, besides two plays where he swam out of the pocket and did a spin move and ran back 20 yards, which he did in college, and he's going to have to work out of his game in the NFL. He's got to get that out of the game. He was in the pocket and controlled the pocket well. He stepped up in it. He navigated out to his left and right, reset his base, reset his feet, set his shoulders straight, and made a good on-target throw. And he also managed pressure pretty well, both from backups and starters. They had Nick Skort running at him. They had Princely Unmanmielen running at him. He was pretty solid diagnosing and responding to that. So he looked okay against the starters, which is all you can ask for. Honestly, it's better than what you can ask for. And he looked good against the backups. Very, very early, and I don't think you can start him in week one or anywhere near that. I think the schedule lines up favorably that whether it's him or Dylan Gabriel, if Gabriel comes out and lights you up in the next 2 weeks, which won't happen because he's not very good, the Browns have the Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings, and Steelers in their first 6 weeks to open the year. You don't want a rookie having to deal with that. Flacco for six, and then if Sanders looks good these next 2 weeks and kind of starts to put pressure on, because Lord knows he will, because that's how this works for the Browns, week seven, 2 weeks before the bye, feels like a pretty good point to say we have 12 weeks left before we know we're drafting a quarterback next year. Let's figure out what we have. He looked good. That's all you can ask for.
All right. I didn't see the game. How did Tyler Huntley look?
Tyler Huntley, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Mickey. I turned the game off when Tyler Huntley came in. The Guardians were locked in a 9-5 game. I didn't care what Tyler Huntley did.
Huntley had better stats.
I would hope he would. Tyler Huntley's in like year five, and it was against the fours.
130.7 rating compared to 106.8. One less touchdown, but no picks. But higher completion percentage. Yeah, anyway, so that's my point, though. Like, Tyler Huntley's not going to be a starting quarterback this year.
I will say Sanders looked a little bit even better. I mean, 14 of 23 is fine. That's all fine. Yeah. There were a couple drops in there, but there were also a couple decisions that he made that weren't good. There were a couple down moments, and then there were a bunch of really good ones where, for a fifth-round pick, he looked very in control, again, is what I would emphasize. He was in control of the game.
And it was like what you were saying, where it's like he's not really throwing to anyone, right? Like, there isn't much separation in these games. And that could be because, you know, DBs might just be a little bit better than the receivers, whatever you want to say. There really isn't much separation. So I feel like that's why I think, you know, with his touch and with his accuracy, he can be well. I mean, be really well once you, when you get him in with the top guys. Like, Jerry Jeudy is going to create separation. And so all he has to do is just put it in the spot. And I think if you look at all the quarterbacks in the draft, he is probably the most accurate that you have. Cam Ward, heck, he can sling it, but the accuracy is not always there. Whereas Shador, maybe don't throw it as far or as hard, but it's always going to be put in the right spot. And I think another thing is, I mean, he looked a little bit faster to me. I know that was his, like, big problem. He always looked like he was moving in slow motion.
I never thought he was that slow.
I'm not saying he was just straight slow.
I think
he
picked his spots well.
Yeah.
Bar a couple.
He looked a little bit faster, and I honestly, he was talking about off-the-field stuff. I think with him dropping as far as he did, I think it kind of woke up, like, snapped everyone open a little bit about, okay, maybe we can slow down a little bit, because they really have. Since that whole draft day fiasco, and, you know, he had this big old party, this million-dollar chain on, and it really has slowed down, especially with Shiloh also trying to fight for a spot right now, too.
I would tell you, Cam Ward, 5 of 8, 67 yards.
He looked good. He looked good. He looked in control of his offense, too. Stepped up in the pocket, had different varying levels of drops, 8-yard, 12. He looked good.
I told you, Shador, I like the accuracy an awful lot. The one concern I had is he pats it. And in the NFL, you can't pat it, man.
Wasn't the problem the other day.
Okay.
But you
two
also,
sacks, though.
You also, if you watch.
But, you know, bad offensive line. I'm not saying that.
One was on him. They sent like eight guys at him on fourth and one.
So it's interesting. All right, I have Clemson stuff. Matter of fact, Sam, can we hear from Dabo Swinney after the practice? Can we hear from him in the next segment?
We can. I've got a bunch of clips of it.
All right, let's do that. I talked to several people that went. Don't want to get anybody in trouble. The main takes coming out of it, and you'll hear Dabo mention this. Matter of fact, one guy, I read the text sent to me, very competitive. That there were times where the offense looked really good, times defense looked really good. And, you know, speaking of the half full, half empty thing, you got that. Anytime the offense looks good in a scrimmage, I'll get my phone calls from all guys, my text, and they'll say, oh, man, defense is in trouble. You know, the half empty guys, the Eeyores. And they got the Tiggers that are bouncing off the wall saying, oh, the offense, man, the offense. Like the offense is a cradle, you know, incredible, right? So, but anyway, both played well. A lot of urgency, a lot of passion. Guy tells me that you can tell the D has a different approach and the coaching staff is better on the defensive side of the ball. Wide receivers look great, and the depth of wide receiver looks good. K threw the one bad pick outside, that looked great. I want to talk a little bit in the next segment about Adam Randall and David Uzomame and what running back one and two could look like. Lawson apparently had a good scrimmage. Alexander had a good scrimmage. You know, Adams is in a boot right now, we know that. But Helt had a decent scrimmage there. But he still says the biggest question we have is punting. So I think some answers are coming at Clemson football. We'll let you hear from Dabo talk about that a little bit. I think they've got some answers out there. Now, they still got a couple big question marks. So we'll address that and come back and kind of revisit what we thought about the biggest question marks and if some of those have been answered. And then also the biggest strengths are those as big as strengths as we thought. So let's do some of that coming back. If you are looking to maximize your return on investment, I want to tell you to do this with Burns Digital Marketing. Do this, go to theroarfm.com, click on our advertising page, and get with this team that knows so much about it, folks. The folks at Burns Digital Marketing, the geofencing stuff they do, the big screen, the little screen, all the radio stuff. They're going to combine all that. They're going to make sure you got everything that you need. You're going to love it. It's our great friends over at Burns Digital Media. It's theroarfm.com. Check it out, theroarfm.com. When we come back, well, Jackson Dart, 12 of 19, 154.
He looked really good, too.
Yeah.
It's better to look. You certainly want to look good if you can in the preseason.
Yeah.
That's one less thing for people to complain about.
Yeah, and it gives you maybe a little rope there going into the season. Busy hour number two, including Dr. Martin. A lot to do when you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.